poor guy who wouldn't let them give his wife artificial respiration. He said the real thing or nothing.
Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
I did.
Can you, Senator Ford?
I didn't even hear it.
Great cast here tonight. You, Joe Lurie, Jr.?
What'd you say?
I say, can you top that?
Who knows?
Probably can't wait.
These three gay wits with their three-way hits bring you another session of Can You Top This? And now for the man who laid down the law so you can pick up the chips, Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Charlie Stark. Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Can You Top This is the only show of its kind. A joke-telling session where the audience challenges three of the greatest joke-tellers of all time. Senator Ford, Joe Lurie Jr., and Harry Hirschfield. Representing the home audience is Peter Donald. When Peter reads jokes sent in by the home audiences, the laughter of the studio audience is registered on the laugh meter. Then our distinguished panelists try to top that joke, and the fun really begins. Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So you ready for the merriment in the first round, fellas?
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. So is Miss Louise Haley of Stratford, Connecticut. And this is a joke with the subject of mishap, something I'm sure you've all had befall you.
Slight accident?
Well, I don't know whether it's slight or major until we get into it. Peter Donald, maybe you can clarify that point.
Well, little Denny Monahan was in the building business. He used to carry bricks up to the top of the building. Very hard work, you know. He goes up there the ladder. And this particular day, he spent his lunch hour across the street in Miguelito Mulcahy's Hibernian Hacienda over there. Drank about 15 mugs of beer. He blew the head off the beer, and the beer then returned the compliment. And comes time to go back to work, and he staggers across the street. He says, "All right now, all right, send all the boys home and finish the building myself. Get rid of them." He says, "I'm the strongest man in the world, Denny Monahan, the strongest man in the world." He says, "They call me Super Monahan around my neighborhood." So he grabbed two hods of bricks and he starts up this ladder. Of course, he gets up about 40 feet and he slips and crashes to the sidewalk right on his head. So the foreman heard this clatter and he comes running around. And there's little Denny, and he's sitting up and he's just scratching his head. So the foreman said, "What, you're still alive after a fall like that?" He says, "You sure are lucky." He says, "To be sure, 'tis the luck of the Monahans. The cement sidewalk broke me fall."
Just halfway up on the laugh meter, Ward. 500 this time.
Give the boys plenty of scope here with their raised hands, two of which I see up now. Let's see. Miss Haley has $10. Let's see what Joe Lurie's going to do about
it. Well, there's a lot of jokes on accidents, mishaps. I'll give you a fast one. This doesn't count, Ward. About the little fellow on the east side runs over to a little soda fountain. He says, quick, give me a glass seltzer. He says, "My wife just fainted." The fellow says, "Oh, too bad. What do you want, 2 cents or 3 cent glass?" That's a shortcut.
That wasn't even a penny glass.
They didn't sell it, sir.
Somebody took the bottom out of the glass.
Oh, that what?
Somebody took the bottom out of the glass.
Now, what I want to tell is about this gloomy-looking guy walking along the street, and his friend meets him. He says, "Why so sad, Mike? Why so sad?" He says, "Oh," he says, "I lost my wife, you know. Says she was in the kitchen cooking, and her dress caught fire." He says, oh, that's terrible. "Burnt alive?" He says, "No. Luckily, the fireman came and put the hose on her. She drowned."
Well, Joe, that was a 700 and a quick flick over to 1,000. So since both of those top Miss Haley's 500, we'll credit you with the 700 anyway. And she still holds her $10, and Harry Hirschfield had his hand up next.
Yeah, I got a couple on mishaps in my mind. There were a lot of young hoodlums in the neighborhood, and they tried to get little Sammy Ginsburg to join the crowd. He said, I don't want to get in with hoodlums. They said, "You got to get in. And we're going to go in that butcher shop tonight. We're going to take the meats and stuff out of the butcher shop, and you got to join us." Says, "Boys, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a crook. I don't want to be a robber. It's no good. The first thing, a mistake will happen. It's always something happens that they find out and make it suspicious, and you get arrested, and you go away for a lifetime. It's no good. I don't want to do it." Fella says, "You got to join it." Says, "I don't want to do it, boys. I don't want to be a robber and go in that butcher shop." They says, "We got it fixed so it won't get suspicious of you. You'll take the hams."
Well, Well, Harry, you can take 900 on 400 better than Miss Haley's, but she still holds her $10, and we haven't heard a word from the senator as yet.
No, not yet. I heard a gag some time ago that might fit in here. Two taxi cabs collided and 30 Scotch passengers were hurt. Well, this gag that,
Better give them all seltzer water.
The one that Peter told kind of reminds me of one Frank Fogarty used to tell many years ago. It seems that Casey was a painter, and he was working on painting a house, and he was painting a window at this particular time, and he leaned out too far, fell down on the pavement, and became very, very dead. Well, at the it wasn't the fall that killed him, it was the sudden stop. Well, anyway, he... at the wake, in the middle of the wake, they were drinking some Hennessy's Tristar and a couple of other things, and a floral piece was brought in the form of gates ajar. So Monahan looked at it and said, "'Tis very beautiful, but what do it represent?" And his wife said, "You dope, that's the window he fell out of."
That end of joke, Senator?
Huh?
That's the end of the joke. We didn't stop.
What did it sound like, Mr. Wilson?
Well, I thought he had a demise in the middle there. I wasn't quite sure about that. But to tell you the truth, that joke got 1,000.
It was always good when Fogarty told it. Why wouldn't he do it?
Fogarty always does pretty well on this program, doesn't he?
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
Joking once again. And here's one sent in by Mrs. I.A. Rogers of Grassmere, Staten Island, New York. And this time the subject is thrift. Thrift. Don't smile so benignly there, Senator, when they say that.
Scotch.
Well, could be at that. So, Peter, don't be too thrifty with a laugh on this one.
Well, this is about a Scotchman named Sandy McBypipe, and he's having breakfast one morning, and he's a very thrifty guy, very ingenious. He has the toaster fixed, so when the bread jumps up, it turns the pages of his morning paper. He was reading that story about the two cabs colliding, but of course, being Scotchmen, the 30 guys were killed. So, anyway, he said to his wife, "Maggie, my darling," he says, "I may be a wee bit late for supper tonight, you see. I've some rather rigorous and responsible business to take care of downtown."
So she says, "Well, Sandy," she says, "how will I know if you're going to be early or late?"
He says, "Well, if I'm no home by 6 o'clock, I'll give you a buzz on the telephone."
She says, "Oh, hi. Well, I'll just sit there and wait for your phone call."
He says, "That's the... Oh, but there's one thing, Maggie." He says, "You see, I'll have to telephone from outside my office. So when the phone bell rings at 6 o'clock, you'll know I'm going to be late. Don't take the receiver off the hook and I'll get my nickel back."
The laugh meter registered 800 for that one, Ward.
Once again, we narrow the field down a little bit, and I think Harry Hirschfield had his hand up.
Yeah, I got one I want to toss in first, too. They were discussing the greatest thrift in the world, and finally a fellow said, "Social Security, there's the greatest thrift that you could possibly have." Turned to a guy and said, "You know what Social Security is?" He said, "Yeah. That's where they guarantee you a steak it for your old age when you ain't got no teeth to chew it with no more." But thrift is supposed to be true about a certain actor and his brother. There's a fellow came to his, I'll make it about an uncle. It'd be better. He went to his rich uncle and he said, "I am very, very poor. Me and my wife, we haven't got a thing to eat in the house. We're starving, can't pay rent. You got to help me as a rich uncle." So the uncle said, "Well, how much do you need a week? Enumerate, what do you need?" "Well," he said, "for rent so much, for clothing so much, for this so much, for this so much, so much. $75 a week, I can get along quite." Says, "All right, I'll send you $75 a week, every week." So for months, he sent him $75 a week, every week. One day, the guy came and said, "I got to have more money, uncle." Says, "Why do you have to have more money? You enumerated the things." He said, "You everything, clothing, household, so come to $75 a week, you'd be fine." Says, "I know it. But a fella likes to save a few dollars also."
It almost made it. But only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Topping Mrs. Rogers 800. However, she still has her $10, and I think the senator's hand was up second.
Well, this is on thrift. Two taxi cabs collided and 30 Scotch passengers were hurt. Same thing.
Same result.
Fanny, what?
Same result.
Well, I keep on trying, it'll work. Fanny Fiddlecrock was talking to Tilly's Numbnut, and they were talking about Tilly's boyfriend, and Fanny said, "You know, your boyfriend is the stingiest human being I ever heard of. Don't take you no place. He don't give you nothing." He says, "You're wrong about that. Last Xmas, he gave me a bottle of cologne." So the other one said, "Yeah, what kind of cologne was it?" He said, "I don't know, but every time I pass the swamp, the skunks jump up and holler, 'Yoo-hoo!'"
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
Which also tops Mrs. Rogers' $800.
You know, I'm in a rut.
Yeah, well, you better stay in the rut, I think. That's very good. We still haven't heard from Joe Lurie.
Yeah, I have a couple. I'll throw one in, too. About the kid in an automobile with his old man. Old man is very stingy and all. He says, "Papa, look. Look, the radiator. The water's boiling in the radiator." He says, "All right, don't waste it." He says, "Throw in a tea bag, quick." But the one I want to tell, I believe, is one of the oldest Scotch stories that I've ever heard, years and years ago. It's about the fellow Sandy comes into his friend. He says, "Oh, these fans they're selling now, these fans." He says, "Look, I fan myself. I pay 10 cents for this fan." He said, "I fan myself only about 3 months. And look at it, it's all to pieces." He says, "Well, I bought a fan," he says, "oh, about 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I paid 5 cents for it. And it's as good as new." He says, "Well, how do you do it?" He says, "How do you do it, Sandy? How do you keep a fan like that from wearing out?" He says, "I keep the fan still, and I just move my head."
You also moved the Kirkman Laugh Meter right over to the extremity, Joe. That was the top.
What extremity? What's extremity?
The nether regions up near the top. Well, here we go once again, and this one was sent in by, an Army man this time, Technical Sergeant Victor Cassieri of Brooklyn, New York, and apparently the Army has moved in, fellas. This one is on the subject of complaints. Being a sergeant, I imagine he knows something about that. So, Peter, line this one up and let's start marching.
Well, this is about a very, very grouchy guy named Senator Buick. The subject is complaints.
That's what I wanted to hear.
You're complaining already? So anyway, this fellow went into, he's eating in the lunchroom one day, and he said, "Waitress, come here, waitress, come here." So this pretty little waitress, she just walks over and she blinked her big blue eyes at us.
She says, "So what do you want already, jerky?"
He said, "Young woman, I want you to take this steak back. It's too tough."
She said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't take that steak back. Look, you already bent it." She said, "I guess it just came from a cow with a strong union or something." They're getting terrible, them cows. They flip your milky thin every once in a while. It's awful. She says, "But I can't get you another steak, but maybe you like something else."
He said, "All right." He says, "Bring me a half a broiled chicken, some peas, baked potatoes. Now, I want you to see that the chicken is well done. And don't bring me the peas unless they're very, very fresh. And have the baked potatoes very well done, too."
She says, "Certainly, and I'll sprinkle some Chanel No. 5 on your artichoke, too." Such a fussy one.
So she goes to the kitchen, and she brings back the chicken, and she put it down, and this guy looks it over, and he says, "What's the meaning of this, young woman?" She says,
"Oh, what's the meaning of what? Honest to goodness, you're so fussy. So what's wrong now?"
Well, he says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Look at that chicken. This chicken has only got one leg."
She says, "Well, for Pete's sake, what are you going to do? Eat it or rumble with it?"
I don't think there's any need for me to mention what happened to that one, Peter.
$1,000 on the left, Peter.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy than Technical Sergeant Cassieri. He automatically has $25, and you fellas are just out for the laughs and the soap, and the senator had his hand
up
first.
Well, there's one about a steak, too, that was underdone, and the fellow said, "Take it back," and she said, "We cook everything by electricity." He said, "Take it back and give it another shock." Well, this grouchy guy was sitting in there, and he couldn't get the waitress's attention at all. So he sat there for about 10 minutes. Finally, he got sore, and he jumped up, and he ran over the cashier's cage, and he said, I want to see the manager. She said, what do you want to see the manager about? He says, I got a complaint. She says, a complaint? This is a restaurant, not a hospital. What do you want, all thousands from me tonight?
If I did, I'm disappointed. They got 100, 250, and 400, which doesn't top technical sergeant Cassieri's 1,000, and Harry Hirschfield's hand was up second.
There's a goof, and he's all bleeding, and his teeth are out and everything. And the cop says, what happened? He said, I just tidying up literature, and a fella told me the best book for me to read is a book called Forever Amber. So I went in the bookstore, and I said, I want a book, Forever Amber. And they kicked me out and beat me up. Cop says, you mean to say they beat you up just for asking for Forever Amber? I said, that's all. I said, I want that book, Forever Amber. Give me one with pictures.
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
Ties Sergeant Cassieri, but doesn't top him. He still has his 25.
I have a couple on complaints. The first one I just thought in about Mrs. Chucha Rabinowitz says to her husband. She says, Jake, she says, you used to say I was the apple of your eye. You used to say I was a peachy. Always call me peachy and your apple of your eye. He says, so what? So what? She says, nothing except you don't seem to care for food anymore. The one that comes to mind is one that Joe Welch, I guess Joe Welch in his line as a Hebrew comedian was comparable to Frank Fogarty. He's an Irish comedian, one of the great Hebrew comedians of the world. And he told this one about this fellow goes and buys a secondhand suit. And he comes back in about an hour. He says, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this suit. He says, you know what I found in the pockets? He says, morts. Right in the pockets, morts. Right in the pockets, morts. He says, excuse me, he says, how much did you pay for the suit? He says, I paid you $10. He says, for $10, what do you want? Hummingbird should be the product.
850 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
None of the three of you, top technical sergeant Cassieri's 1,000.
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
Oh, let's get back from the vocals to the jokes once again, and here's one sent in by Edwin W. Holden of Port Chester, New York, and it's on the subject of animals this time. Animals. So, Peter, you join the SPCA, and here we go.
Well, this is about Dr. Ganza Muller, a very famous veterinarian. You may have seen his signs around. Is your poodle off his noodle? And does your retriever have a fever? And does your spitz have fits? And does your parrot suffer from B.O., birdie odor? You know. So he's very, very swanky, and he's got an office on Park Avenue. So one day, sitting in his office there, this veterinarian, and the door opened, and a little fella stuck his head in the door. He said, hello, hello, hello. He says, I beg your pardon. He says, you the doctor that goes to the dogs? So the doctor says, yes, my good man, I happen to be a vet. He says, vet, dry, who cares? I'm a vet. He says, brother, says, my name is Abercrombie Fafufnik. He says, I want you to fix up my puppy. He says, wait a minute, I'll get him. So he goes out to the other room. He brings this dog in. It's 5 feet high, it's 8 feet long, it's the size of a rhinoceros. So he brings this awful thing in. He says, all right, sit down, Tinkerbell. So the doctor looks at this dog. He says, what is that, a Saint Bernard? He says, well, certainly it's a Saint Bernard. What do you think it is, a Mexican Chihuahua? He says, now, wait a minute. He says, doctor, he says, look at that tail. It's 3 feet long, the tail. He says, wags like a pendulum when it's happy. Wags like anything, the tail 3 feet long. He says, I want you to cut it off. The doctor said, what? You want this dog's tail bobbed? He says, why? He says, don't ask questions. He says, get the clippers and make a snappy snip there. That's all. Cut off the tail. The doctor says, but this dog must be over 6 years old. He says, he's too old to have the tail bobbed. He says, you should have brought him in when he was a little puppy. He's much too old. He says, please don't quibble-quabble with me. He says, gotta cut off the tail. So the doctor says, well, all right. He said, if you insist, but I want you to understand now that as a medical man, I assume no responsibility for this. You got to assume all the consequences. But I would like to ask you once more, please, why do you insist on having this dog's long tail cut off? He said, all right, so you want to know? He says, I'll tell you. He says, next week my mother-in-law is coming for a visit, and I don't want her to see any signs of welcome.
Well, you certainly did justice to that one, Peter. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
So, automatically, as it's $25, you boys are out for soap and laughs once again. All three hands up this time. Let's take Harry Hirschfield first.
Here's a quickie, I think. Sadie Glutz is going out for her first horseback ride. So the attendant on his horse is taking her along, and as she's running down the country road with his horse, as they're jogging along the horse, she keeps slipping on the horse, slipping back, and when she got near the tail, she says, "Get me another horse. I used this one up."
700 is the score in the laugh meter this time, Ward.
Let's see. Joe Lurie Jr. had it.
Well, I've got a real short one. Fella goes in the pet shop. He says, "Hey, I want my money back for the rabbits you sold me." He says, "What's the matter?" He says, "They all got hiccups." He says, "That's okay." He says, "What do you mean it's okay? They all got hiccups." He says, "They should have hiccups. They're all belching hairs."
Joe, we'll be generous and give you $6.50 on that one without the bicarbonate.
Can I give him a glass of seltzer water with that?
2 or 3 cents glass. Senator, we haven't heard from you yet.
Well, Hockey Pop went into the general store up in my hometown, and he said, "I want 10 cents worth of rat poison." And the clerk said, you want to take it home with you?" He said, "No, I'll send the rats in for it."
Senator, suppose you tell them to pick up the joke while they're there.
500 on the laugh meter this time, Ward.
Well, laugh reaches its peak. They didn't get it right away.
Well, this is only a half-hour program. That's all the time we're going to have right now, but be sure and join us again next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Lurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.